The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the Limeys for a show entitled A Dollar Bill Signed by Dionne Warwick. So let's get going, let's timestamp the show. It is 10:02 here in the UK, in London, this Sunday, December the 12th. Sunday, December the 1st, sorry, 2024. Sunday, December the 1st, 2024. Looking at the calendar in the right-hand corner of my screen, says 1-12-2024, so I read it wrong. And for you live listeners out there on RadioSoapbox.com, today's show image is of a dollar bill signed by Dionne Warwick. And you can have a look at it at achshow.com about half an hour after this show finishes, when I've got the show post done and uploaded to my website. And it originates from a dollar bill signed by Dionne Warwick, which I found at my mother's house whilst I was going through her things. What makes this most amusing for me is the piece of card paperclip to it, with the names Aretha Franklin and Randy Crawford crossed out. So let me give you my interpretation of what happened here. On their travels, my mum and dad spotted a black female singer they recognised, so they asked her for her autograph. She kindly obliged. And as they didn't have any paper to hand, they gave her a dollar bill to sign. Now, in the tradition of that famous saying, "I'm terrible with names, but I never forget a face," they knew they had the autograph of a famous black female singer, but they just didn't know who it was. So they checked out pictures of famous black female singer autographs online, Aretha Franklin and Randy Crawford to start with, and in the tradition of another famous saying, "third time lucky," they got it right third time with Dionne Warwick. Incidentally, I checked Dionne's signature out online for myself, and they were right, it is hers, as it is quite distinctive. I was going to chuck this out as it has no real monetary value apart from perhaps the dollar bill it is inscribed upon, as autographs are very difficult to certify. But then I recalled I have the CD of Dionne Warwick's Heartbreaker album, so I folded it neatly away from the autograph and tucked it into the CD case. Next, I just want to draw your attention to today's traditional Christian message entitled The Friend at Midnight, which is a four-minute message that is now available on achshow.com. Now, whilst in the UK, more and more people are frightened of expressing their opinions in real life or online in case they end up in jail, let's look at what's been going on in the UK legal system in the past week, and in particular some of the people who have avoided jail recently, presumably because they presented a lesser risk to the public than those expressing opinions that the authorities do not like. First up, Daily Record. School teacher who sexually assaulted Ryanair stewardess on Scots flight avoids jail. Next, Tottenham and Wood Green Independent. Owner of band Pitbull, which attacked girl aged 8, is spared jail. Next, Real Prostatin and Abergurley Journal. Real man spared jail despite third suspended sentence breach. So essentially, he's been given suspended sentences on three occasions, which have conditions that he has to follow in order to have the sentence suspended. On three occasions, he has failed to comply with those conditions, and he's still spared jail. Next, the Independent, former HMRC, that's the government tax office here in the UK, former HMRC employee spared jail after helping ex-husband launder more than £3 million. Then we've got the Daily Mail, asylum seeker sex pest targeted two women on the train in terrifying ordeal before sexually assaulting one, but is spared jail after judges told he has no friends in the UK. Wonder why. Next, LBC, predatory maths teacher, 26, spared jail after grooming student 16 for sex before being caught by Travel Lodge staff. And finally, Daily Mail, fury as Netflix reality star caught trying to smuggle £150,000 worth of drugs into the UK is spared jail as judge says she simply lived beyond her means. Next, the Google Doodle. And whilst all of you will know what it is, I never knew what it was called, so here is its description from Wikipedia. A Google Doodle is a special temporary alteration of the logo on Google's homepages intended to commemorate holidays, events, achievements, and historical figures. So on Thursday, which was Thanksgiving, I expected any change in the logo to reflect America's most popular holiday, but instead I got this. Celebrating Lancelot Ribeiro. This doodle celebrates the Indian expressionist painter Lancelot Ribeiro, who is most known for his pioneering use of materials in his artwork. Imagine my shock. Okay, so let's have our weekly look at the BBC Verify website and see if the BBC have verified whether or not a member of their team, Mariana Spring, lied on her CV, as the Daily Mail reported in their November 20th, 2024 article entitled BBC's Truth Checking Unit Under Fire for Quietly Deleting Statement After Saying Government Was Right About Number of Farmers to Be Hit by Inheritance Tax Raid. So we will go over there now. Got to make sure I don't close a couple of these pages down because I've got them open for a reason. I've not got them saved. So, excuse me, here we go. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. So we're on BBC Verify. So we scroll down until we get the latest updates in the middle section. And then we go back to whatever it was last week. Well, I can see 22nd of November would have come under last week's show, and since then they didn't do anything till the 26th of November. So I'll read these out to you. Would Donald Trump's tariffs hurt US consumers? Then 28th of November. Israel building new military dividing line across Gaza? Satellite images suggest. And then 29th of November, Ross Atkins on are North Korean troops fighting in Ukraine? So nothing there on Mariana Spring's CV, and nothing there still on the request that I made about why they had one of their presenters saying that World Trade Center 7 had collapsed when it was still stood up behind her and collapsed a few minutes later. So, yeah, they're not able to verify either of those for some strange reason. Okay, so let's go on with... I'll just let you know I'll be including a link to the BBC Verify page in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Okay, so now I'm going to share with you the delights of being me in the last week. Well, yesterday, actually. I had a letter that I need to post. It's not particularly urgent. Can only do it by post. You know, these days you tend to be able to do things online, but they needed a signature, so it's got to go by post. So I was out with Amanda. As we go out on Saturday, we generally get the train to two or three different places if we can, get out of different places on the one ticket, make breaks in the journey, and get to see a few different places. So yesterday we covered, must have been about 12 charity shops, funnily enough, which she enjoys doing, looking for cheap secondhand things. And in the first place, I thought, well, I'll check out a post office, see if I can get this letter posted. And it was one of these small shops that had a post office in the back, and there was just a queue of people. So we went past it a couple of times, and I stuck my head in each time. And, you're not going to queue up that long for a second-class stamp. Past at the counter, look, because it was like a news agent, so you had the main counter, then you had the post office at the back. I said, you sell them singly. You have to go to that bit at the back. So there was another bigger town I was going to where they've got a bigger post office and they've got self-service there. And I thought, well, that'd be nice and easy. I don't even need to, I'm not going to, just cheapest way of doing it, second-class stamp. I don't need a proof of postage, anything like that. It'll take me a few seconds to do, and the machines were all closed. So I thought, well, maybe someone's on lunch, because they always have to have someone, even if you're in self-service in the supermarket, there's someone there supervising things when they go wrong. Or, for example, in the supermarket, if you put a can of Red Bull through, you have to be verified as 18 or above, which seems a bit odd to me. I mean, I wouldn't personally go near that stuff. I remember vodka Red Bulls when I was at university, and the next day you just could, every time you belched, you could taste Red Bull. It was a vile. So, I've never been a fan of Red Bull, but at some point they've, made these energy drinks at 18 and over. So Amanda sometimes gets that, and someone has to come over and wait for them to, verify them. And if I'm buying beer or what have you, in that fashion, which is very rare, but it has happened where, they have to come over as well. But no, nobody there at all. So I went back a little bit later as well, thinking they might be on lunch, and that's why they closed them off. Still no one there, but just a massive queue. It's just pathetic the way that the countries just deteriorate. And it isn't just happening here. It's happening to Western countries throughout the world. And again, it's by design. I remember for years there was this real push, and it was from Labour figures like Peter Mandelson, to privatise the post office. And ever since they did it, we've had nothing but trouble. We've had deliveries reduced. We've had just service standards reduced across the board. And it was always, oh, it's going to be a good thing. Or, of course it is. The question is, who's it good for? Because it's certainly not made it better for me as a consumer. And now they're talking about selling it to some other guy. So rather than just, let's make this a public company and make it run not for profit, but for the British people, which is what anything like a postal service should be. It's not working out kind of as we hope. So we'll see if we can find some other private person to run it. It's pathetic. Okay, so as of December the 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine Adverse Reactions and were aggregated from the totals of the five vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these, as whilst their website page still exists, the five vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it, so I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. Okay, so now it's time for this week's viruses and vaccines, in which I give you a rundown of all the health related stories I've encountered in the past week. Here we go, folks, or here we don't, because nothing today. So when I tell you I only bring you articles that I think are of interest, do I lie? I didn't just throw anything in this section. One thing that I have decided to play, and I hope I've got the right bit because I just ran out of time. Last week, the Eyes Is Watching podcast, and that's one word without the G on watching, so Eyes Is Watching. I'm going to play you a clip from Odyssey. Now, one dropped yesterday, which is podcast number 164, and I'm already listening to that, and that's good. This is last week's, it's 163, so when you go to odyssey.com, then you would need to go back one and play this one. I'm going to give you the timestamp, because I remember listening to it. It was one of my favourite shows in the last week, and basically, he goes through some of Trump's cabinet picks as to who And his belief is, as I believe, that there is going to be another plandemic, there's going to be another vaccine push. And as I've said in the past, I base this on the fact that they stopped reporting the injuries from the vaccine in this country on the website that we used to go to, you know, each week back in the days when Maleficus was doing the show. We started and finished that. Well, those figures started and stopped while we were doing this very show together. So we are on Eyes is Watching episode 163. I'm on Odyssey.com. Odyssey is spelled O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. I only say that because it's a different spelling than it is in the dictionary. And if you were to look up something like this without getting the exact spelling right on Google, you wouldn't find it because they don't want you to hear it. So I don't generally play non-mainstream stuff out of here on this Limey show. That's something that I cover on the I'm Talking To You show that went out yesterday and does every Saturday. But I am 18 minutes and 17 seconds in, and I'm hoping this is the bit where he talks about all the different links with the Trump cabinet to Big Pharma, vaccines, all these different things. So let's see if I've struck it lucky or not. Here's the 18 minute 17 second mark.
Elon Musk are here to give you hope while steering you safely away from the real culprit. Vivek, now the poster boy for the anti-establishment, just reminded us that COVID started in a lab. That's right, he said COVID justice is coming in a video, and he said we're going to find out and prove that COVID came from a lab in China. That's right, because apparently regurgitating shit that is seen on Reddit is now enough to make you a hero these days. But let's not forget, this guy co-funded Roivant, a company deeply tied to mRNA production alongside his brother, Shankar. And get this, J.D. Vance, Trump's right-hand man right here, is also heavily invested in mRNA factories via Naria Capital, funding Amplify Bio and RNAV8 Bio to ensure that poison keeps flowing through uninterrupted. Great news, right? The heroes of the freedom movement profiting off of the very death tech that's crippling humanity. The images tell you the story here loud and clear. In this image, you can see a lot right here, okay? It makes the little connections here between Shankar Ramaswamy, Vivek's brother, CEO of Kriya, and his brother Vivek, whose fortune came from Roivant, a company partnered with Pfizer and mRNA tech. J.D. Vance, a co-founder of Naria Capital, pumping cash into companies like Amplify Bio that specialize in mRNA development. So while Vivek plays the populist hero role here, going against those globalists, at the same time he's raking in the cash from the very depopulation machine he claims to oppose. The DICs will give you your heroes, okay, anytime you ask for them. And the heroes will mention the crime, but conveniently divert your anger to something else. China, or Fauci, leaving their own hands squeaky clean. This is controlled opposition 101, folks. Give the public their heroes, let them blow off steam, you know, and then steer them away from the real architects of their misery. Vivek, Vance, and even Elon Musk are playing their parts here perfectly. I mean, bravo to the demons, people. They do know how these advanced manipulation techniques work. Dangling promises of justice while keeping the real agenda intact. They rewrite history, gaslight the masses, but at the same time, they are ensuring that machine keeps turning. And the best part, people are falling for it. They cheer on these outsiders without realizing they're funding their own genocide. One booster shot and one tax dollar at a time. Speaking of tax dollars, so here we are, folks. The golden age where people are dying suddenly, constantly broke, and tracked endlessly. The Depop plot is not over. And let's give a round of applause to the demons in charge because they really outdone themselves this time. Justin Trudeau, the most famous lesbian in Canada, just tweeted this. Starting December 14, GST and HST will be paused for 2 months to make a...
We'll leave that there. I think that, there was a lot of talk on that, and there was a Reese Report video from last week that talked about these picks in Trump's cabinet, and they get more and more concerning. I've long maintained, as I said, that I think they're going to roll out some sort of pandemic and some more vaccines in the not too distant future. And when you think that this all came out under the Trump regime, he's back in there. So why would he not do it again? But we will see. Hopefully that is not the case. But yeah, that guy's a good presenter, isn't he? Eyes is Watching. I only found him a few weeks ago. I think maybe Jim Rizzoli put it up on his BitChute channel, and I've been listening to every show ever since. It's basically a weekly roundup of the news that tends to, you know, drop on his Odyssey and BitChute channels on the weekend. So I wasn't there yesterday, but it was there when I woke up this morning, the most recent show. Okay, so that being said, let's move on to... where are we going next? Okay, sorry, just scrolling down here. Oh, CDs. So I mentioned that I was out at all these charity shops yesterday. I didn't actually buy this, but Amanda did. I thought I'd run it through and play it. There was a Best of Genesis. You remember the band Genesis started off with Peter Gabriel and in the 70s, I think, and then he left, went solo, and Phil Collins, who was the drummer, ended up the lead vocalist as well, what have you. Quite a very successful band, but I never found them... I don't know, I could listen to them in the background. It wouldn't bother me. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of music you'd hear and you'd like, oh, turn that off, I can't stand it. But it didn't engage me enough to... want to buy that and listen to it by choice. I'd always find something else I prefer, if that makes any sense. So I put this on my phone yesterday, ran the CD through the computer, it was 50p in a charity shop, and I listened to all the tracks. And apart from That's All, which was, I think, 1981, 1982, none of the others jumped out at me, and there was 19 tracks. It was called Turn It On Again. It was released in 1999, a greatest hits. And I think for the Turn It On Again track, that was an old track of theirs that they did when Gabriel was still in the band. And he actually came back to record a new version with them for this 1999 compilation album. So I recognised a lot of the songs. It's just I couldn't really, you know, get into them majorly, that sort of thing, if that makes any sense. So I've scrubbed that off the phone, and I always have my own CDs anyway, so basically she said I could have had it if I'd wanted it, but she said she's going to take that one away. But the other thing that I bought, got it here, I paid £1.50 for this, American Road Trip, that's a title for you, 3-CD set, I just found it quite interesting because there were some songs on here I recognised. The main reason that I bought it is it's got Going Up the Country by Canned Heat on it. But I also, so far, I listened to just the first 2 CDs. And there's a few tracks. What I do is I go through and I weed out straight away any tracks I already have. And then I run through, and when there are tracks that on a second play, well, the first play that you run through, there are some that jump out straight away, I don't like this, you won't necessarily even finish the track, so you weed those out, and then the ones that you might like you keep, and then you go through a second listen through and think, yeah, I'll keep that, or no, I won't. But the thing about a compilation like this, you find a lot of songs on here, or I have so far, that I know when I hear them, but I couldn't tell you what they were called or who they were by. An example of one of them is Long Train Running by the Doobie Brothers. So that was playing. I thought, I know that song, but I wouldn't know the title or the artist, or in this case, the band. So, that's quite interesting. And the third CD, I've only literally removed about 2 or 3 of the 21 tracks, so I really don't recognise any of the tracks on there. But one thing I did earlier is I recall that when you... I've never done this. I've never paid... for an MP3 track. I just won't do it. I'll buy the CD, and then you can take the MP3 tracks off it on your computer, you know. And I don't know what these MP3 tracks are going to be, the bit rate's going to be. Is it going to be the top rate, or is it going to be a lower rate? I don't know. It doesn't specify. But what I wanted to do was, for example, it doesn't matter what I paid for this CD. If you wanted to buy it, what would you pay for it now? So it's on Amazon. You can buy it new, through an marketplace seller, £5.45 plus £1.26 delivery. So that's what, £6.70, something like that. And it's got 60 tracks on it. So you're paying like just over 10p a track, aren't you, really? Now, what I was trying to do was pick out a couple of tracks. So I picked out Bad to the Bone, George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Everyone knows what Bad to the Bone is, don't they? And then the other one that I picked out... Why's my mind gone blank? Well, just to give you an idea, I picked that one out and I went onto Amazon to try and buy it as an MP3. And all it would do is it would take you to an album, and it was $7.99. And then generally, I remember in the past, you had like prices next to the individual songs. You could buy the individual songs. Well, now that stopped. I thought, well, maybe it's just on this album. So I remember the other one now. It was some sort of greatest hits of the Doobie Brothers. Again, same thing happened. All these tracks came up. And whereas in the past you could buy them individually, now you had to buy the whole thing. Again, it was £7.99. So I always stress the importance of buying physical media. I just feel that when you see things like that, it's everything. For me, this was always the plan, right? Because I remember when I was growing up, there was a guy at university when I was sort of in 1991, and he said, this was when, you know, CDs were like £12 a time. He'd say, look, he said, if they had like some service where I could buy so many tracks and I had to pay like £30 for the CD it was on, I'd like to do that, make my own compilation. He said, because the amount of CDs that I've bought that have only got one or two good tracks on it, I'd save money if I did it that way. And I think that the carrot on to get you in to starting to buy your music electronically was to start selling these songs individually. And now, certainly on these two experiments I did on Amazon this morning, they're wanting you to revert to buying the whole album. So I don't know if that's the same on some of these other platforms, but everything is geared towards you will own nothing and you will be happy. Yeah, what is an MP3 file at the end of the day? It's just a load of, you know, it's just something that appears. You can't physically hold it. Like, I can grab this CD and I can open it up and there's artwork and I can pull the disc out here. First track, Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, 1986 when it came out, then Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way, 1977. You've got all these little details, even on a compilation. You've got these physical discs. And it's so much nicer to handle as well. And you've got more power over it then. It's not, you know, if you use something like a Spotify, you're not suddenly going to be in a bad area where I presume it works via streaming like Netflix, stuff like that. You could be in a good area. You could have a power outage. The other week, our internet went down. So, if my internet goes down, I can go and, watch a DVD. But if other people's internet goes down and they watch their stuff on Netflix, they can't watch that either. I just think what they do for us or claim to do for us very rarely seems to not have some ulterior motive for them. And they're extremely keen on, it's like symbolic for them, of depossessing us of everything. So that's why they get you from all these different angles. I read a story, I was going to cover it, but I don't like it. Basically, some kids in America, they were in a Tesla truck, they had a crash, it caught fire. Most of them died. I think the four in the car, three already dead, one's in hospital. Now, normal cars crash and they can catch fire and people can die. So I didn't want to make political capital over the fact, oh, it's a Tesla, it's another Tesla has caught fire, blah, 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 because we know those stories. I didn't just want to use that, and it felt a bit, you know, how can I put it? I'm trying to find the word, but it just didn't feel right to use the deaths of these children for some sort of political points when we don't know the full circumstances. But with all the negativity towards electric vehicles and convenience alone, I mean, a tank of gas lasts a lot more than a charge on an electric vehicle. A tank of gas you can fill up in a fraction of the time you have to wait around for an electric vehicle to charge. All these different things, but yet they still keep pushing it. Well, presumably they couldn't turn off gas-powered vehicles in the same way that they could with electric. And this environmental, the more that you look at it, I heard this case that was this guy actually on his show from yesterday, this Eyes is Watching guy. He played a clip of Keir Starmer. Oh, we're committed to these 2030 targets and all this. Well, this is just communist nonsense. So what they do is they want to restrict this, that and the other from you that you're used to, because communism it's like Satanism. And they target societies that they regard as predominantly Christian. But you realise what a fraud it is when there's no attempt by these globalists to crack down on people like India, China, who are polluting the most in the world. They can do what they want because it's not about pollution. It's about restricting, it's about lowering the quality of life of people in Western nations that they associate with Christianity, that again is associated as those that God called the covenant people, or the Israelites of the Bible, and targeting them and doing it in a covert manner. So under communism, it was, well, you can't say this, you can't say that. The way they do it here is, well, if you say this, this could cause harm. This, and they try and sell it to you and dress it up. Same with the green agenda, this business with these electric cars and what have you. It's just, again, anything smart on it, smart meter. Isn't it interesting how all these things can be turned off at the central source from where they come? And then not just that, but we find that there are all these targets issued by the government to get so many smart meters into homes every year. So many cars have to be sold that are electric, otherwise the car companies get penalised. All this different stuff. And even going as far as the likes of pushing this Amazon Prime, all this subscription nonsense, Kindle books. You know, what's a Kindle book? It's something that doesn't exist. It just appears on a device and you've paid for it. It's not a physical book that you can hold. So if all the electrics and everything go down, well, you can still grab a book. You won't be able to read it at night if there's no light, but you can read it during the day. You don't need anything for that, just your eyes. And that's it. They don't want you to have that. They want everything to be put on some sort of platform that they control. So when they've got all, even now, when I look at things like PayPal and my online book publishers getting rid of my account when I had no problems with them whatsoever because a certain group decided to approach them and say whatever. I don't know if they were threatened or what was done to get rid of me. There you go. I've experienced being shut down, and I think that this is what we're all going to experience, and they realise where they're going, and so it's going to get to a stage where even if they don't have laws against it, they're a private company so they can do it, but the private company will be tipped off by, as we've heard, coming out of the so-called Trump administration. I think there's been talk that, again, they're trying to sell what they're, you know, dressing themselves up to be, which I think is going to be the opposite of what you're actually going to get when he gets into power. But they were talking about it was actual government agencies that were approaching these social media networks to tell them what to censor. And it wasn't the social media networks themselves, because the lie they sold us was, oh, well, they're a private company, they can do what they like. But of course, what we knew was going on was the government couldn't do it because it would go against laws of free speech. And so what they did was they told them to do it, and they gave them a pass to do it because, well, they're a private company, they can do what they want. So that same private company could refuse to bake a cake for a certain couple. Is that right? Oh, no, it didn't work in that scenario for some strange reason. No, it only works when we want it to work in our favour. And that's the law and lawfare and Western societies that we are having foisted upon us today. Okay, so now it's time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall, which, as the Daily Mail is the most visited news website in the world, gives us an insight into what they, whoever they are, want us to be thinking and talking about. First up, going back all the way to last Sunday. So, folks, what I do is when I finish this show, I go out for a cigarette. That's the first thing I do. No, it isn't. I turn on the oven to get it ready to warm up for my lunch, which is a chicken vindaloo on a Sunday. Anyway, so then I go for my cigarette. Then I come back in here and I upload the show before I go out as well. And then provided that's uploaded, it's not ready yet because I have to type the show up for you, type the show description, put the image in and all that, and then drag the link, the uploaded show, so you can download it. And I try to get that done within about half an hour of finishing the show. Generally, I do. And then I delete everything out of my script apart from the individual sections. So, for example, here, I still have the same intro for this section of the Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall. But all the articles, I leave the first up, next, all that in. But I just take the entries out for each of those. And then, while I'm eating my lunch, I'm going through the Daily Mail on Sunday to see if there's any articles. And if they are, they start going in again. So this tends to be what I give you. Generally, it's chronological. So the first story I give you will probably be the oldest. Sometimes I will move them about if one article relates to another. It flows better that way. But they certainly are all in the last week. So the earliest you will hear is from last Sunday afternoon, as one of these was entitled "More than 200,000 people sign petition demanding another general election is called after Labour U-turns," to which my comment last Sunday was, yeah, good luck with that. But then one day later, Starmer breaks his silence on demand for fresh election as petition tops 2 million signatures. PM blames difficult budget decisions for massive backlash, telling ITV's This Morning a lot of people didn't vote Labour, and here is a quote from the article. The PM blamed difficult decisions in the budget for the huge backlash he has been facing as he appeared on ITV's This Morning. He insisted the petition just reminded him that very many people didn't vote Labour. I'm not surprised many of them want a rerun, he says. That isn't how our system works. There will be plenty of people who didn't want us in the first place. And what was it I said last week about the Labour government not caring if they were popular or not, as they have the right to remain in power until the summer of 2029? Nevertheless, I did actually sign that petition. And it's funny because I was listening to them discussing this on Paul English Live, the panel there, and saying, oh, we don't sign petitions and stuff. I didn't. If you remember, there was a petition to get rid of the online safety bill or online harms bill, what have you, and Malifkas and I both signed it, and other people signed it as well. I think it was earlier this year. So what I thought was, I've already got an account, if you like. Doesn't sound good, an account, petition account with the government, but you know what I'm saying? I've already signed one petition, so it should be easy. And it was. I just had to put my email address and I was recognised, and presumably I was added to it. So I signed the petition, and then I received this email on Thursday, what, a couple of days ago, 3 days ago. Dear Andrew Hitchcock, Parliament is going to debate the petition you signed, call a general election. The debate is scheduled for 6th of January 2025. Once the debate has happened, we'll email you a video and transcript. Thanks, the petitions team, UK Government and Parliament. Now, I haven't been following it if it's gone past the 3 million mark. People are saying, oh, this is the biggest petition they ever had. No, it isn't. I've looked into this historically. Apparently the biggest one, it was 6.1 million did a government petition to reverse the Brexit vote. And, well, it didn't get reversed officially, did it? But we'll see. What was it Nigel Farage said, that the Conservative policy that got adopted was Brexit in name only. And then we see Keir Starmer wanting to renew ties with the EU and stuff like that. So I think that that's where we're going to go, and it was never going to be allowed anyway, but they weren't going to go down that line to do it. So here they're going to do the little debate in this kind of feeder chamber to the House of Commons. It's in a different building outside of there when I do a little debate, just for show, just to say, well, you know, we say we do debates over this amount, so we're going to do it, but nothing's really going to change. Because in the end, as I said last week, they don't care what their polls are. They just care that if they do things that are unpopular, so long as they've got the police and the legal system, and if necessary, if it gets really bad, the army with martial law, enough of them to control the people, that's all they care about. Because make no mistake, folks, this is a communist regime. And as Dr. Peter Hammond said, the reason they promote all these green agendas that I mentioned earlier, they're watermelons. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. And they made that decision after communism, we were told, fell in 1990. Berlin Wall came down, 89, 90, whenever it was. Communism is over. Well, it doesn't look like that. It looks like it's gradually been seeping into the West through things like political correctness and other such things that restrict your free speech that wasn't restricted before. So it wasn't a removal of communism. It was an expansion of it throughout the West and a way of doing it in a different manner, a more deceptive manner, through the environmental movement. And if you look into that, you will find that there's a lot of people that have written on this topic how the environmental movement was used as the tool to implement communism across the Western world. Indeed, I think it was Khrushchev who said back in the 1950s to the American people, you will be communist and you will salute the same flag. You'll become communist, you will salute the same flag. In other words, you won't know it, but you will actually be communist without knowing it. Okay, next. Now Labour's budget sparks security alert for MPs. I'm going to start that again. I was all over the place. Now Labour's budget sparks security alert for MPs. Expert warns huge tax raid and winter fuel allowance acts have raised risk of deadly attack, with grievances stoked by government not seeming to listen. Yes, and I don't think locking people up for protesting the murder of three toddlers did them any favours either. Next, new asylum hotels act as a massive incentive for small boat migrant crossings, ministers warned. After it emerged, seven more have been opened since Labour came to power. Labour's net zero plans left in disarray after electric vehicle sales targets were blamed for the closure of Vauxhall's Luton factory, putting more than 1,100 jobs at risk. So whilst I feel sorry for the workers concerned, it is encouraging that we are starting to see some pushback against the World Economic Forum agenda. Next, Terror Police block October the 7th video game that allows players to recreate Hamas atrocities by paragliding into Israeli base to kill soldiers. Next, huge migration surge added almost a million people to the UK population in a year. Extraordinary revised figures show inflow equivalent to two Leicester-sized cities, with the most arrivals from India, Nigeria, Pakistan, Zimbabwe and China. Followed up by this article, ladies and gentlemen. How Kemi Badenoch will change the Tories' immigration policy as she declares Britain is not a hotel, it's our home, in first major policy speech as Conservative Party leader. So, in other words, whilst the Tories were in power, they let nearly a million immigrants into the country in 1 year, yet now they are in opposition, they are planning to change their policy on this. So one can only wonder if their policy will change again when they next get into power. Next, I'm a UFO investigator. Here are the chilling cases I encountered of alien craft interfering with nukes. So the existence of UFOs continues to be pushed in the mainstream media. And also I'm going to throw in here, folks, back to my trip to the charity shops yesterday. I got one of these good offers. The way you've got to look at it, sometimes you get five DVDs for a pound, something ridiculous, a really amazing offer. I was in a supermarket with Amanda. She was getting her food for her lunch for the following day, you know, a meal deal. You get a sandwich and a drink and a bag of crisps, and then you buy all three together, you get a bit of a discount. Well, on its own, a normal bag of crisps now is over £1. Okay, so now you're getting five DVDs for £1, or four in this case. But if you see a DVD that you really want, and it's £1 on its own or £2, don't make the mistake, oh, well, I might find that four for £1. It's still really cheap, so just grab it because you might not see it again. I've done that before. Well, you know, if it's cheap, it's cheap. If you get something like these four for £1, then, you know, have at it if you can find some. And I did. What I had in that little bundle, I got, there's a Disney film called Homeward Bound that I thought Amanda would like, which is some animals that talk, apparently. I saw her watching it yesterday. I'm going to have a look at it today. I don't know if it's my sort of thing, but I might like it. And then they had the whole first season of Northern Exposure, which I've always wanted to have a look at. I've read up on it, and I wouldn't buy any of it new. It doesn't look like my sort of thing. The only reason that I want to look at it is because that is where David Chase was before he did The Sopranos. But he wasn't, I don't believe he's a showrunner, certainly not in this first season, because his name didn't appear on it. But I believe he did a lot of writing for that show. And, you know, he also did writing for, like, the Rockford Files, but that goes back to, like, the 70s. This was right in the 90s, just a couple of years before The Sopranos. So that's something I've always wanted to check out if it came across at the right price. And 25 pence for the first series is the right price. And the main reason I mentioned it is I have never seen the Men in Black films. Never interested me at all. So also, I got Men in Black 1 and Men in Black 2. So I'm going to have a look at those at some point. I was pleasantly surprised to see one of them was just over 90 minutes and the other one was just over 80 minutes, so not over long. But apparently these are films Amanda says, oh, they're very good, but they've just never appealed to me. So hopefully I've found something that's going to give me some entertainment at some point later in the week when I get back from my mother's. Okay, so finally in this Daily Mail section of articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall, telling someone you can't understand them due to their accent could be racial harassment, judge says, after marketing manager with Brazilian twang took university to tribunal. Okay, so now it's time for our topic section. And what I've called this is why you have to be careful how you look when you go out. We're all getting older, folks. I took me a long while to find a Harris tweed jacket that finally fitted me. I did. I still, every time I go to a charity shop, I look at the men's coats and very rarely see a Harris tweed jacket. If I do, well, the only one that's ever fitted me is one that I bought. And I've been looking for these for well over a year. But I was going out the other day. I was going to put this on. And as I say, I live in quite a deprived area of London. So, you know, when I'm out with Amanda, saying somewhere like Dorking, all right, I'm not saying to her, look, Amanda, don't walk out the shop until you put your purse away, everything like that. Don't get your phone waving about. Keep it all concealed. You know, these are the sort of areas where you can. I mean, obviously, we've seen with the phone issue where people coming up on these e-scooters, you know, probably one of the most dangerous areas is Mayfair, you know, which is the most expensive property on the Monopoly board. Because, of course, these people are going to go to the areas where they think that they're going to get the best swag, as it were. But also deprived areas, these are also areas you've got to be careful with stuff. And I just felt, I went to put my tweed jacket on the other day, and I just felt, it looks weak in some ways. Do you know what I mean? Oh, he's some guy doddering along, you know, he's some eccentric with his old tweed jacket on. He's a target. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I put my black puffer jacket on instead. And I felt more secure, if that makes any sense. So it was just something that crossed my mind. And I just wanted to share it here, that I think that appearances, for the sake of self-preservation and self-protection, we hear all these, you know, horror stories. I mean, the guy in Canada, Stefan Verstappen, when he was last on with Jeff Rentz, he came out with some story about some guy on a train in Canada asking some a guy who was not of the indigenous population of Canada, historically, to turn his music down, and he ended up being stabbed repeatedly for his trouble. And this guy was trained in martial arts, and he still couldn't wield this other guy off. So these are the sort of things you have to be careful with. I say to Amanda a lot, she'll, you know, if I see her looking around at people or she hears a noise and she's like looking over, I say, Amanda, don't look. All right, don't look, because then what are you looking at? And then you'll get dragged into it. Do you see what I mean? It's not a nice way to live. We should be able to confront people and say, you know, what you're doing is not right. But if you're dealing with someone that is probably a good chance that they're going to do something to you, is it worth taking the risk, or do you just put up with it? Okay, so now it's time for the news roundup of the week. Here we go, folks. First up, Daily Mail. Subtle warning signs that your barber is filthy after surge in ringworm linked to unsanitary haircuts. Now, it's articles such as this that make me appreciate the Daily Mail, even though I'm very contradictory of their propaganda pieces. Basically, I used to get spots on the back of my head near the neckline, so really more. It was on the neck, but it was also in the hair going down to where the hair stopped, you know, after I'd had my hair cut with clippers. That was when the spots would develop. So I subsequently asked the barber to always sanitise the clippers before they cut my hair, after a doctor had made me aware of what was causing this. As I have been growing my hair for the best part of 3 years, simply because during that time I have expected another lockdown and didn't want to have to try to cut my own hair again after the mess I made during my attempt in the lockdown, I don't miss the barbers. But I do feel sorry for people who have suffered the same condition after a haircut, as not only does it look revolting, but these spots can be pretty painful. Next, Daily Mail. London's historic Smithfield Meat Market, which is thought to be the oldest in the world, is to close after more than 800 years. Then we've got the BBC. Top-selling mobile games break rules on loot boxes. And here are some extracts from the article. I've reversed bits around, so I'm going to tell you about loot boxes first and then something else afterwards. So, according to the article, loot boxes contain random digital items that gamers can only reveal through gameplay or, more controversially, by making a payment. Game makers have previously defended them as being akin to a chocolate egg containing a plastic toy, with children not knowing exactly what they are getting until the egg is bought and opened. But critics say they are in fact a form of gambling, with a report in 2022 by the Norwegian Consumer Council, of all places, concluding that they, and I quote, quote, often involve exploiting customers through predatory mechanisms, fostering addiction, targeting vulnerable consumer groups, and more. The regulator, the Advertising Standards Agency, ASA, says it bans and removes ads which fail to make the clear distinction whether or not a game contains a loot box. But a BBC investigation found only two of the top 45 highest grossing games on the Google Play Store actually followed these rules. Now, again, this is disgraceful. And I noticed, I couldn't quite believe my eyes some years ago. I was playing a game, I forget what it was, and it was, oh, you know, if you want to play it a bit longer, you have to purchase credits. And it was something I've downloaded this on my phone, you know. Anything like that, it gets deleted, it gets uninstalled straight away. But it's how people are allowed to get away with this, how there's no law against it. You either pay for it, you either say, right, this game's for sale, excuse me, getting agitated, banging my table. This game is, you buy it and it's yours, there's no adverts or anything like that. Or this game you can have for free, but we might put an advert up or what have you. Or that's it. There's no, oh, well, you have to buy credits for this. And I've got these two things, stick cricket and stick tennis. Now, stick cricket, I can't work the bat at all. I'm just terrible. I'm lucky if I get any runs in a whole match. I just can't work out how to do it. But stick tennis, I'm really quite good at it, to be honest. I'm quite surprised. I've mastered the art of scoring aces in a lot of cases. I have done quite well on there. But on both of them, they've got these things where you can buy better bats and all this sort of stuff. So presumably you get to a certain level and you're never going to go beyond it, because however good you are, you're not going to have a good enough bat or racket or whatever to face the opposition. I just find this sort of stuff astonishing, how it's even allowed to exist. But that's, you know, we should go back to people being allowed to phone people up at home, companies, to try and sell them things or to turn up on their doorstep to sell them things. That, to me, is a form of burglary. That is harassment. That's what real harassment is. Not what the government defines as harassment. Harassment is when you're sitting happily in your home, like I'm doing now, I'm doing this show. If the phone suddenly rang and it was someone trying to tell me something, sell me something, you know, I don't, if I want that, I'll be looking for it myself. I'm busy, I'm doing this show, I don't want to hear that. That is a form of harassment and assault to me. And that's why I think all this sort of stuff should have been dealt with at source. But there's always going to be these people that are going to use methods like this, and they're going to aim at vulnerable people, especially children, who are going to be so keen on playing their game that they'll pay anything just to get to continue playing more and more and more. Okay, next, Daily Mail, boy 13, whose parents sent him to boarding school in Africa, starts family court case against family after claiming he was abandoned. Then we've got the Daily Mail, Motorhead's Lemmy will have his ashes stored at very famous London strip club where he was a regular. And the strip club is Stringfellows in Covent Garden, which you may or may not have heard of. Next, Daily Mail, reclusive Rothschild family millionaire dies in house fire in the Hollywood Hills. And this was apparently Will Rothschild, who was described as a reclusive millionaire who owned multiple properties and dozens of expensive cars. But the article doesn't tell us which branch of the family he stemmed from. Next, we've got the Daily Mail. Furious passengers on luxury cruise go on hunger strike, demanding full refunds after engine failure forces ship to abandon £7,000 trip to Antarctica. And if you want to give these passengers some moral support, their telephone number is area code Nuneaton 808080. Next, Daily Mail. D.B. Cooper is named as Richard McCoy Jr. by expert who says he has airtight proof. And basically, one of McCoy's children has had a DNA test that was so close a match to the DNA left by D.B. Cooper after he hijacked a plane and parachuted out of it back in 1971 that the FBI are planning to exhume McCoy's body for further investigation. And I did see another article on this in yesterday's Daily Mail, and so there'll probably be more recent developments than the ones that I've just given you. But D.B. Cooper is a big famous, you know, he crops up in a lot of true crime books and stuff like that, because there was something, I forget the exact story, but he was on a plane, he got some sort of ransom given to him. I think I don't know, somehow he was given the ransom and he parachuted out the plane that he was in. And they discovered some money and different things over time. So they're worried if he died on impact and stuff. It's quite a fascinating story if you want to look it up. Maybe Wikipedia might be okay for this. Then you don't have to buy anything. It doesn't sound like they would politically slant it one way or another. So you might want to give them a try first. Next, Daily Mail, bombshell update in Natalie Wood drowning mystery as witnesses reveal who killed her. And apparently it was Richard Wagner, or rather Robert Wagner. It's very easy to get these two guys confused, but the way to tell them apart is that one of them's been dead for years and the other's been alive for years, which was a very prophetic statement made by Derek and Clive back in 1977, when you consider Robert Wagner is still going strong in 24 at the age of 94. And finally, Daily Mail. Lyle Menendez age gap, romance with young British student in turmoil amid claims he is a prison wife to a muscle-bound convict. On that bombshell, you have been listening to The Line Is, episode 196, A Dollar Bill Signed by Dionne Warwick. The Liners will be back with you next Sunday. I'll be back with you with Peter on Tuesday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.